Those who can, do. Those who cannot, do it on the internet. FancyPantsGangsters.com.
It's the Flyover Sky Show on the Fancy Pants Gangsters Podcast Network.
Yeah, yeah, this is King Django, and you're listening to the Flyover Sky Show on the Fancy Pants Gangsters Podcast Network.
Flyover Show can be found at FancyPantsGangsters.com and MNSky.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Flyover Ska Show, brought to you by the Fancy Pants Gangsters Podcast Network at FancyPantsGangsters.com and Minnesota Ska Community at MNSka.com. I'm your host, Courtney, and we've got a special guest on the line. We have Kenny from Something to Do, an old friend of mine. Kenny, how's it going?
Good, Courtney. How you doing?
I'm doing better. For those who don't know, I totally talked to Kenny yesterday, but I did not. I failed to record our conversation, so this is our do-over right now.
This is deja vu for us.
Exactly. To give you a little peek behind the curtains of how to not run a podcast.
Sounds good. Well, we'll get it right this time, and hopefully we'll remember everything that we said the other day, too.
Exactly. So, what are you guys up to? What's happening tonight?
Tonight is our CD release show, and I'm sitting in the van at the gas station. The guys are filling up, and we're trucking down to the Miramar Theater here in Milwaukee, and our new CD, Music for Fine Dining, comes out tonight.
Oh, that's got to be exciting. How are you feeling about it?
You know, I'm feeling really, really good about it, Courtney. This CD was really a process in the making for us, because for the first time ever, we actually kind of took a break from playing a whole lot so we could sit down and write and have extra practices and all that sort of thing. So for us, it's kind of nice to really dig our heels in and really put a lot of effort into writing a CD instead of just trying to cram it in between playing shows.
Yeah, totally. So what was that process like? I mean, I think that's sort of a deviation from how you guys have recorded and done albums in the past. What was that process like for you guys?
It was great because, I mean, just like in the past, you know, someone would bring in a demo, primarily Nate, our singer, and we would work on that particular demo. But in this case, instead of, you know, just cramming it out like, hey, we're going to have, you know, an hour of practice and then we're going to spend a half hour on a new song, we would actually sometimes go in for 4 hours on a Saturday and work on, you know, one or two or three songs for long periods at a time and not even play old material. So for us, it was quite a bit different. And I think this CD is just different in general because of the fact that we've had some lineup changes since our last CD as well. So that's really affected the sound of the CD.
Yeah, so who do you have? Like, who's out and who's in?
Who's out? Well, since our last CD, actually, Mike Barse, our trumpet player, decided to move on, and we picked up Joe Abbott. And Joe is a guy we knew. He filled in 5 years ago on trumpet for us when we were out playing a bunch of dates in the Midwest and in Canada. And the funny thing about it is when we found out Mike Barse is quitting, we really all said, hey, you know, Joe is a great guy. We should get him back into the band. But none of us knew where to find him. And we couldn't track him down, but about a week later after that, I was up at the Brewers Stadium here in Milwaukee at the Friday's restaurant, and right as I was walking along, all of a sudden I hear someone yell, Kenny, Kenny, and there was Joe. So it was kind of, I guess, fate that we were looking for Joe, we ran into him, and now he's been in the band for a while.
That's awesome. fate at Miller Park right there.
Yeah, right at Miller Park. Talk about really, really lucky. And also since then, we have Alex Kazer has joined us on guitar. He played in one of the other local ska bands called Carful of Midgets prior to this. And last summer we had him play with us while my wife was actually going to have a baby. And just in case I had to leave a show or a festival, we needed a guitar player there, I guess. And after he played with us for the summer, we really liked Alex and we asked him to stay around. So we kind of got into two guitars, which changed our sound quite a bit. And then Joe is really a harmony kind of guy. So our horns went from, you know, very unison playing to being more of a harmony. And then Alex also studied vocals as a college major, so we really got a lot of harmonies going on in our music too.
That's cool.
So I think, yeah, so a lot of changes with the lineup.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you guys, Alex kind of went from your contingency plan to just being absorbed into the something to do family, I guess.
You put it very well. So it's really been a great thing for us, and we really feel like this album turned out really well because of not only the lineup changes, the new talent, as well as the time that we put into putting it together.
For old Something to Do fans, for people that have known you guys, because you guys have been around for a while, what can they expect from Music for Fine Dining?
Music for Fine Dining is kind of like Something to Do, I'd say Something to Do on steroids. It's like the rock and roll version of us. You know, it's just power rock, you know, the two guitars with guitar harmonies, the horns with more harmonies. And on top of that, we actually also always recorded our own stuff in the past, and this time we went to an outside studio, which, you know, made it even beefier. So, yeah, so it's a very muscular version of us, I would call it.
That's nice. Yeah, I've had the opportunity to actually hear the album, and, yeah, I really like this. I mean, it's more of the harder rock side of Something to Do, and a little less, like, of the pop ska stuff, but... That being said, I don't know. I really, really enjoyed, and I can see where you guys are kind of growing as a band.
Yeah. And again, we hope that's a good thing. We hope people enjoy it and appreciate it. And thank you very much for your kind words. I think you also noticed, though, that we still did give, you know, our nods to the traditional ska. We have one song on there, Complex, which is just a straight traditional ska song, as well as we have a song in there, called Breakaway. That's a little bit more of a, you know, toaster style, I guess I would call it, you know, second wave kind of ska.
Sure.
So it's not gone. It's not that we've changed and suddenly we've become this, you know, Nickelback kind of thing. but we definitely added some rock and roll to our style.
If you want people to buy your album, you probably should avoid using the phrase Nickelback in your review.
that's why I say, you know, don't think we turned into a Nickelback kind of band. We actually always joke about them in our van while we're driving, but
yeah, who doesn't? So okay, you guys are playing this show tonight to open up your release this puppy. How many CDs release shows have you guys played as a band?
Well, we've had 5 CDs come out. So we played 5 CD release shows in Milwaukee, and then occasionally we would do an additional CD release show in, like, Appleton or Green Bay, Wisconsin, or maybe even Madison, Wisconsin. But for this one, it's just one show. But this is our 5th CD to date.
Nice. I mean, ever since I decided to start playing in a band, I feel like you guys have been around. So it's good to know that you guys are still doing it. You know, you guys are still releasing music and you're still, you know, growing as a band. Something comforting about that.
Yeah. So, and not to make it sound old, but we have been doing it a while, and I think a lot of us just don't want to give it up. So we just keep going at it.
What's the best part about being in a band that has kind of, survived some up and downs and, have lasted as long as you guys have?
For us, you know, the funny thing is, as a band, we're a little bit like an old married couple, I got to say, after being together for 10 years. So we know how to argue, we know how to pick our battles, but we know that in the end of the day, we all love each other and everything's cool. So I think that's kind of what's gotten us through. And you know, we really do come with the common goal of playing really hard and entertaining people. And, it's not about egos, it's not about drugs, it's not about any of that stuff. It's really just about kicking butt for the crowd.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I feel like that's the right way to think about it. The right attitude.
Right.
So you guys just recently played a show with one of my, like, I don't know, one of the bands that kind of introduced me to alternative music. The Offspring. You guys actually played with the Offspring.
Yeah, I think I remember when you and I had our first interview the other day. Talking about the Offspring, really were the first band that you got into alternative music with all around, and now it kind of made you break away from the conception of, you know, all music had to be, you know, pop music or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, those guys opened my mind to the fact that, oh, music can be played fast and loud and aggressive, and you can swear, and you can, you know, you can do all these things that you that weren't being done on the radio.
But
I mean, to sit here and, you know, hear you saying that you guys have played with them, 20 odd years later, it's like, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of mind-blowing for us, too, because a lot of us, you know, of all the punk bands we listened to, The Offspring, for a lot of us, was definitely one of the first punk bands we really got into. And it's kind of appropriate, we thought. I checked these stats out the other day. They've actually sold, like, 50 million albums, you know? And I think they're one of the highest-selling punk bands of all time. So for us, it was kind of one of those mind-blowing experiences. Here's a band we've always liked. And wow, the things that they've accomplished, even as a punk band, without having to be, you know, necessarily mainstream. So that was pretty amazing. And, you know, we walked into the show, into this huge ballroom, just nervous as hell, wondering how we were going to do in a situation like that. And it ended up just being a lot of fun, and the crowd was great. And we just did our thing, and it was successful.
That's awesome. I mean, that's awesome. So, like, what other sort of opportunity? I mean, that's a fantastic opportunity to just kind of fall into your lap kind of last second.
And
I know from being in a band, like, sometimes those things just happen. So, like, you know, have there been other opportunities or other instances where all of a sudden a great opportunity has come your way unexpectedly?
Sure. I don't know how many of those things have come unexpectedly. I think one of the very first opportunities we had as a band in our first year, I believe, was where we got a fairly last-minute call to open for Mustard Plug in Green Bay. And that really kicked it off for us, you know, just getting into a really big show and thinking how cool is it to be able to play something, you know, of this nature. You know, I think their attendance that day was about 400 or 500, you know, and for us that was just a huge deal. So sometimes those things fall into your lap, and then sometimes they're planned.
Right.
they're just as interesting. We do play a lot of festivals around, you know, Wisconsin. And some of the bands we've opened for are like the Beach Boys, which was just kind of awkward because I don't think the audience was quite sure what to make of us. You know, all the baby boomers. And we've also played opening for Patti Smyth and Scandal, and she sang that song "I Am the Warrior" back in the 80s.
Yeah,
and she was kind of a interesting cookie because she locked out not only the band like us, she also locked out, I believe, her own band from the back dressing room for like an hour before the show and 2 hours after the show. And she said, you know, it's my backstage, everyone out. And I had heard she didn't even show up to do her sound check, you know, because she was too good to show up at that point. I don't know if that was the case or not. But
I
don't know. Yeah, rock star attitudes.
Yeah, you know, like, we, and I don't understand, like, the mentality behind that, the diva-ness, because, like, you know, even though, you know, it doesn't matter how big or how small the show is, they all seem kind of important to me. And I mean, we recently just played a show with Jonathan Richman, and he's a great guy, except just super eccentric. So he would come in and he did like a 3-hour sound check just to make sure every acoustic thing was correct. And it was the middle of summer, and he made them turn off the air conditioning because it was too much, you know, overhead noise, which is strange because he just plays an acoustic guitar, and he has a, you know, buddy of his on, like, drums and percussion. So it's like there's not a whole lot of there to, I don't know, to interfere with. So it just is interesting. So it's like the further you get, you know, or the successes that you reach in your musical career, it somehow relates to how bizarre your backstage antics are.
Right, how obnoxious you are.
Exactly. It's like, because I can get away with it.
But you know what, at the same time, I've met a lot of very cool bands, and I must say, you know, it's something to do. We've been very fortunate to open for just about every big ska band we thought was cool growing up, you know, Less Than Jake and Real Big Fish and Goldfinger and some of those bands. And the thing that always surprises me is, you know, Dickie Barrett, for example, and you've probably experienced this, I'm sure a lot of your listeners have, you know, he's always out at the merch table, either before, if not right after the show, trying to talk to the fans and sign stuff and do that sort of thing. And I remember one time I dislocated my shoulder at a Boston show, and he stopped the show and he jumped off the stage and came down to make sure I was okay. And, he's just one of those really, really all-around nice guys. You'll even see him, like, out in the bar or at the venue, you know, having beers before a show. So he's cool, and, yeah, it's once in a while you do get those cool people in the business.
Maybe it's just the ska bands that are seem really, really genuine and cool and, I don't know, caring. Yeah, I feel like most ska bands that we play with is the same way. It's very, you know, everyone's looking out for each other. And that, I mean, maybe that's certainly a great thing. But, yeah, these other divas that are outside of the ska genre, it's interesting. It's an interesting observation, yeah. Anyway.
Well, right, and you know, it's always interesting to see that you think you're that important for some reason or another. So, I don't know. I've learned just to try to ignore it. You know, we've had plenty of frustrating, you know, bands we've opened for, like the Spin Doctors, who have 3-hour sound checks, and their sound check goes right up until 5 minutes before we're supposed to play, and we haven't even set up yet. You know, and it's just bunk. But you know, I guess you got to deal with it if you want to play the show.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, the last time I talked to you, your wife was about to have a child, I think. And I think that was right around the time, yeah, you guys were open, or you were gonna play a show at the before the Brewer game at Miller Park. So it's like
good memory.
Yeah. Well, you kind of jogged my memory when you were talking about how your lineup change kind of started. And so it's like, what have you guys, I mean, besides this album that you guys just completed, you know, what other interesting things have been up with the Something to Do clan?
With the plan, yeah. You know, our plan all along has always been to keep, you know, improving and getting better and attempting to get onto better shows and again, to play better shows for our audiences. And I think that's kind of been a big focus of ours, especially coming out of this CD, is, you know, we're trying to dress it up a little bit. As a matter of fact, our CD release party tonight is a event. It's a formal event. You don't have to dress up, but if you do, you get $2 off at the door, for example.
Nice.
And again, to go with the Music for Fine Dining theme. but ultimately, you know, we're going to dress it up a little bit more. We're going to, you know, have more things for people to look at on stage. You know, we've kind of added some boxes that we kind of jump on and off of during the shows. So everything is just meant to step it up and make it better. And we don't want people coming back again saying, well, I saw these guys the last 4 times and they did the exact same thing.
I think that's a good thing, because, you know, as a fan, you know, you're always looking for, I mean, yes, you want to hear the music that you know and love, but you also want to, you know, have a new, fresh experience, you know, from that band. You know, it is interesting. I feel like as a band, and I don't know if as a person in the crowd, whether it's different, but like, you just don't feel like playing the exact same thing, because, you know, creatively, you want to do something different. You want to keep moving forward.
Right.
I mean, have you experienced that as a musician, where it's like you had to go, okay, do we play the same set, or do we change it up, or is it worth it to change it up? You know, that made those sort of decisions.
Right. Well, you know, that's a tough thing, and I'm sure you know exactly where we're coming from, as you mentioned. But we always have a discussion as a band. You know, we have some songs that have been pretty popular with our audiences for many, many, many years. And a lot of the guys, having played those songs, you know, 2,000 times in our career, are kind of going, oh my God, I don't want to play that song again. Never, ever again. And it's hard. Yeah. It's really hard to step back and to say to, you know, say to yourself, well, I know we don't want to do it, but the audience really wants to hear it. And, you know, to decide when a song's old and dead and not useful anymore, and when the audience really is expecting it.
Right.
You know, we kind of always had this discussion, like, you know, the Boston, they're probably going to have to play Someday, I suppose, for almost every show for the rest of their lives.
Exactly.
You know, and they've been playing it how long now? So, yeah, I mean, if the audience wants it, the audience really should get it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you obviously want to play something that the audience wants. But on the other hand, you're like, oh, we've got some of these new songs or these different songs. It's like you really want them to learn them and love them as much as you do as a performer. And there's like that weird sort of relationship with the musician and the music and the fans.
Yes. I agree completely. And I'm still always blown away. Like every show I go to of Les and Jake that I had seen anyway, they play, you know, Johnny Quest.
Yeah.
It's just like, wow, you have to play that. You know, Metallica always has to play Enter Sandman or whatever the case may be, whatever your popular song is, your hit is, whatever that might be. You know, it's like you really got to please the people that are paying for the tickets or are paying for the door admission.
Yeah, and you know, it's sad, but it's like as a band, you almost have to, like, you don't have to be still in love with the song to play the song, but you'd like to be. You'd like to be in love with every song that you're playing.
I agree completely, Courtney. And yeah, ultimately, and you got to just hope that you can slowly sneak in those new ones, you know, as you go along and start getting audiences to like those and they catch on too. So everything evolves, I guess.
Exactly. So Kenny, you've been involved with a little festival that's happened every year for, I don't know how many years, 17 years or so.
20 now.
20 years.
Scoppleton. This year was the 20th anniversary of Scoppleton.
Now, how was the 20th anniversary? How was that show?
Well, you know, we talk about things evolving, and Scoppleton taking place in Appleton, Wisconsin, kind of it's in the Fox Valley, Green Bay area, for those of you listening from outside of the area. Mm-hmm. And so I started out at one of the universities up there, and about, 10 years ago, I got involved and helped them do some booking. And there was one year where I took off from helping booking. And during that year that they did that, they had Bound the Music Industry play. The girl booked Bound the Music Industry, and she paid them way too much money, and they destroyed the hotel room. And I'm not digging on those guys. I'm sure they were just having a good time, because I do like their band and their music.
Yeah.
But that being said, because of that, the university the next year said they weren't going to host it. Now, the unfortunate part was we had it all booked, and they didn't tell us until 2 weeks before the show that they weren't going to host it. But we were able to scrape together and move it to another venue for the last 3 years. And then in the end, we actually this year decided to move it to Milwaukee because we just weren't getting enough people to come to the show up in Appleton, and there was just no money to do it up in that area.
Sure.
So, and this year it went very well. We had a great lineup. We just chose to do a whole collection of regional, you know, bands from around Chicago and Wisconsin, Indiana, and more, and where else do we have? Minnesota. So, and we did have Deals Gone Bad as kind of a bigger band on that show. So it went well, and if all goes well next year, we'll have some much bigger bands playing the show.
That's good. I mean, so you feel that Scoppleton's kind of has a little more momentum back?
I'm hoping so. I'm hoping so. I still haven't gotten great feedback from the venue on how they felt about getting into it next year again. So I'm waiting for that, but we did have several other clubs in the Milwaukee area call us and say that they heard it went well, and they'd like to speak to us about hosting it. So I'm going to call that a good sign.
Yeah. It sounds like you have some outs, and it sounds like you guys will be able to at least keep it around. And, you know,
yeah.
I've always heard, I mean, being a fan of ska music and living, like, I grew up in La Crosse, and I had heard about it. And,
oh, sure.
You know, and because, you know, just being in the general vicinity and knowing that there's some sort of ska, long-running ska festival, I mean, that's exciting to know, and to know that it's been around for so long that it's something that you can attend. And so to keep that around, I think, is really important. And I'm really glad that that you've had the opportunity to kind of keep the ball rolling with Scoppleton, even though it's not in Appleton or anymore.
No, but I mean, it's a no. Everyone said you need to change the name to Milwaukee or something. People came with a billion different versions of that, despite the fact that when I announced Scoppleton moving, I said, don't attempt to combine Scott and Milwaukee, because I knew it would sound silly.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, it's been around for 20 years. People know the name. Why change it? Is my feeling on it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good way to think about it. I mean, I've played there 1 year, and I've been a fan in the stands 1 year, and I always thought it was really a really good place for kids and basically fans of all ages just to go for an entire day just to witness what's going on in ska music in the Midwest at that given time.
Right. I do believe, Courtney, that I tried to get Stage Jack on it about 6 or 7 times, and I think you guys might have made it once out of all those requests.
We'll call it timing, just because, oh, man. Yeah, it seemed like every year a member was getting married, and it was always in the spring, you know, right when Scapleton happens. It happens like in April and May or whenever of every year, and then it was babies. And it's like, oh, you know, we're having babies. It's like, okay. So, yeah, life got in the way a little bit of Sajak ending up on the Scapleton bill. But regardless, it was a good time. We came away with a great experience from that place. And so we're hoping that we can have more Minnesota bands, you know, continue to play on that bill.
Yep, I'm all about that.
With this new CD coming out, what do you guys have going forward here in the future? What are your plans for the rest of this year, next year?
I think we're going to start by taking a long nap and then paying back all the bills for what it cost us to put this CD out. But no, actually, I say that jokingly, but I should really thank everyone. We did a Kickstarter for this album.
Oh, yeah.
And we actually put our project out there, and we hit our goal. So I really want to thank everyone who contributed to our Kickstarter. When the guys brought it up, I kind of was suspicious. I thought this will never work. But it really did pan out well, and I really appreciate bands supporting music in that manner. It's kind of, you know, and for local bands to really get that kind of support that years ago would have only come from record labels.
It is really kind of fun and amazing that, fans are willing to do that. And I've said this before on this show, but I think Kickstarter is kind of nice because it allows you, when you buy a CD, that money is going to the store, and then it gets, who knows where it gets distributed or how that gets all figured out. But when you contribute to a Kickstarter project for music, you are like a personal investor. You know exactly where it's going. Yeah. It's going directly to the financial funding of that album. And then, you know, you depending on how you contribute, it's really nice as a fan to get those sort of amenities, the little prizes or the I don't know what they call it in Kickstarter land, but, you know, like some merch and some personal stuff from the band. And that's, it really kind of solidifies that connection with the fans.
Right, right. And we couldn't be more thankful to the folks that helped us out.
So you guys are going to take a little bit of a break?
I guess, yeah. I kind of joke about that, taking a nap. But, yeah, we're going to take it easy for a little bit here. But we are actually – one of the things that we need to do right off is our drummer, Mike Batzer, is actually leaving the band, and moving on. So we are hiring a new drummer. Actually, he's been practicing with us and playing with us for a little bit now. His name is Brad Klotz. And so we got a few weeks here to train him before we have a 3-hour set at the Wisconsin State Fair. And I'm pretty excited to have Brad on board. He's actually an old college buddy of mine. He went to school for percussion. We feel confident that we're getting someone in who can, you know, take over the big shoes of Mike Batzer very quickly.
That's nice that you guys have. It seems like when there is going to be lineup changes, you guys handle that very well. You guys seem to have someone ready to go, ready to like step in, come up from the minors to play the big leagues with you.
Well, we tend to get lucky that way, and like this one, we didn't even advertise it out. We didn't put an email out. We didn't post it on our Facebook or anything like that. We knew two guys that we thought might be a fit. And we went out and talked to him, and Brad happened to work out. And the cool part about Brad is he actually played with us about a year ago. We played on a festival in the town that he lives in. And I called him up. I said, hey, you're a band teacher. I said, you play some different horns and whatnot. And he said, yeah. And so he jumped on saxophone and played 4 songs with us at that festival. So we kind of knew that a little bit about him. We kind of knew his ethic and his experience, or the rest of the guys did, I should say, since I've known him forever. And, you know, he really just came in and nailed it.
That's awesome. So curious, because you've had a couple of lineup changes over the years. Who are the founding fathers of Something to Do? Who's left?
The remaining original Something to Do members are myself and Mark Kuntz, our trombone player, and Nate Trudenik, our singer bass player.
Yeah, you guys are. I mean, you guys are always a lot of fun. Just to, not only to see. Because you guys are, I mean, you guys play some just incredibly fun music. It's infectious. If you're not getting into it, you don't have a pulse, you know, sort of thing. But I mean, it just, you guys are fun to hang out with too. I mean, I've played many shows with you guys with, I think, all three of the bands I've been in over the course of my music career. And it's been fun getting to know you guys.
Cool, man. It's been a pleasure getting to play with you guys and hang out and talk and do these radio interviews. So definitely a pleasure on our end as well. And hopefully there's a lot more of that to come.
All right. Well, Kenny, good luck with the show tonight. Hope everything goes well at the Miramar.
Cool. Appreciate it, Courtney. And hey, two last notes. We will be up, just because you're in the Twin Cities, I bring this up.
That's right.
Your listeners are kind of everywhere. But we'll be up at the Triple Rock, I believe October 5th. I think Friday, October 5th, we'll be playing up there with Mustard Plug.
So, nice. That's my birthday weekend, so we'll have to celebrate it Something to Do style.
Well, it's going to be a good party, I think. And I also noticed on Mustard Plug's website last night that Umbrella Bed is also on that show. And they've always been one of my favorite Minnesota bands as well. So, so hopefully we can all hang out. I'll see a bunch of old friends from Minnesota.
Yeah.
And we'll have a good time for your birthday. And, and other than that, our stuff will be available on iTunes and Amazon and all your favorite download sites over the next couple of days here.
So what websites can I point the listeners to so that they can get a hold of the new album here?
Sure. iTunes and Amazon are guaranteed, and then there's 50 other ones that I don't remember. So.
And for Something to Do related, what can people follow online?
Oh, sure. I suggest either somethingtodo.ws, as in website, or facebook.com/somethingtodoband.
All right. The new album is called Music for Fine Dining, and I've been your host, Courtney Close, for Kenny and all of Something to Do, and we're all saying skank on.
Go on and push me away. Go on and say you're sorry. Go on and give me the blame. Say that I am so lame. Cut me up and scar me. Go on and ruin my life. Go on and take my money. Go on and leave me for good like you said that you would. Go on and leave me, honey. You have it so bad that you're gonna lose it. Go on and poison me slow. Just make it last a long time. And while I struggle and gasp, you'll just stand there and laugh and then claim it was suicide. Baby, why are you tired of me? You're tired of me. Give me a complex. on your black dress. Hang your head in respect. My baby, don't shed a tear because you're not up here. Life is perfect. Baby, why are you tired of me? You're tired of me.